This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we're on page 161, which is in Surah Al-A'raf, the 8th juz of the Qur'an, and it is the final page of this juz. In the previous episode, we mentioned the third of the stories that Allah Azza wa Jal relates to us in this surah of the prophets and messengers that were sent to the various generations or to the various nations throughout the generations and throughout time. And that was the story of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, who was sent to his nation, the people of Thamud. And the people of Thamud were people that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them the ability to carve out dwellings from mountains, and he gave them technological and engineering superiority, that they were able to turn their desert land into a place that they were dominating, that they were flourishing and thriving from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. But when Salih alayhi salam came to them and he called them to Allah Azza wa Jal and he brought to them the sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the she camel, they turned away and they rejected this and they didn't want to know, and they made fun of him and they ridiculed his followers, and they claimed that they were people who didn't need to follow the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so then they went a step further and they hamstrung the very camel that they were told to leave because there is a sign from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So today we continue from verse 80 onwards, and we will be covering two prophets. The first of them is the Prophet Lut alayhi salam, and the second of them, we will mention the first half of his story, and that is the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu was salam. But we begin with the Prophet Lut. In the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, verse number 80,
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ.
We sent Lut, and he said to his people, how can you practice this outrage? No one in the world has outdone you in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions the story of the fourth of the prophets that he mentions in this surah, and that is the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Prophet Lut, as we've mentioned before or pointed to before, is the nephew of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And he was sent to the people of Sodom. And these people were in the area of what is Sham today. He went there and he called them to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these people, just like the people of Hud, were people who transgressed in their own way, and the people of Salih were people who transgressed in their own way. Then likewise, the people of Lut also transgressed in their own way. But this transgression in all of these cases is in addition to the major transgression of shirk. So the reason why they're all punished is because of their shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal. But then as a result of that shirk, they were also known for an evil that became predominant amongst them, or dominant amongst them. And it became something which thrived amongst them, this evil, because of their shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, that the people that Lut alayhi salam was sent to, it was something which was extremely abhorrent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we sent Lut alayhi salam to his people. And here the people are not mentioned. The name of his people are not mentioned, but rather they are known as the Qawm of Lut, just as the people of Nuh are known as the Qawm or the nation of Nuh. So here these are the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and they practice something, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ. He said to his people, how can you practice this outrage? And this outrage will be mentioned in more detail in the next verse. But essentially it's homosexuality. And this is a topic now that is very sensitive in our time because of the whole debate that goes on around it. For us, morally, as Muslims, as part of our religion and our religious beliefs and what we understand and what we teach from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Sunnah of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a major sin. And it is something which we consider to be not worthy of practicing Muslims or Muslims in any way, in any case. But rather that it is something which morally is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made abhorrent. It's something which people should stay away from and not practice. And at the same time, it's very important to know that our religion, especially in the societies that we live in, doesn't preach hatred or violence just because we speak out against something. Because the Muslims have for many, many years been speaking out about many things that we don't like. For example, in the societies that we live in that go against our religious teachings, we don't like people drinking alcohol, we don't like people eating pork, we don't like people taking interest. All of these things are major sins in our religion, but we're not considered to be preaching violence against those people who do eat pork, for example, who do take an interest-based loan or mortgage from a bank, who maybe do drink alcohol. That's not our religion. It's not the way we practice. So likewise, when it comes to homosexuality, we preach against zina, which is adultery. If a man or a woman cheats on his or her spouse, we speak against that. But no one considers us to be calling for violence against those people who are adulterers or adulteresses. So when it comes to homosexuality, it's very much the same. We don't accept it as a religious practice, but that doesn't mean that we're inciting violence or hatred or intolerance towards anyone. But we're telling you that in terms of our religion, our belief as Muslims, it's not something which is acceptable. Nor is it acceptable that us or our families or our children, that we should be obliged to think that it is acceptable for us as a way of life. And so this is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here. And he says, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, that they were the first people to practice this, the people of Lut alayhi salam. That time, they were the first people to come up with this sin. And that shows, therefore, that there was always a first of something. When people disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal, or when they allow shaitan to overcome them, they will do things that people before them never did. And these are practices that, for example, for maybe 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, some of these things that have now become prevalent in our time, people would never imagine. They were never able to comprehend or think or even imagine that these things would take place until society normalizes it. And it becomes something which becomes prevalent amongst different societies and people. And so there are people always who don't like this, who don't appreciate it for themselves or their families or their children. They don't want that influence upon them. Other people want to do that, that's fine, that's their choice. But you don't make it obligatory upon everyone, just as we wouldn't make it obligatory upon everyone that they follow our way either. And so they did something, the people of Lut, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, no one has done this before you from amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning from amongst the humans. And then Lut alayhi salam makes this even clearer in verse number 81, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ, you lust after men rather than women, you transgress all bounds. So he's saying, addressing the men, that you would rather have relations with other men, intimacy with other men, as opposed to the women that Allah Azza wa Jal created for you. And that is because Adam alayhi salam was created from his spouse Hawa. And from that Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that that is the correct pairing between a male and a female in the bounds of marriage, on the bonds of marriage. That is how a person should have intimacy, and that is how they should have their progeny. But you come instead and you twisted this. And men are going towards other men, women are going towards other women, and that is something which is beyond all bounds that Allah Azza wa Jalla has set for the people who are doing this. It is important for us to understand also as Muslims that everyone has desires. It is one of the major traps of shaitan that he comes to people with desires. Some people, their desires are to do with wealth. Some people is to do with intimacy and the opposite gender. Some people is to do with power. Some people do with influence. Some people do with drugs. Some people do with alcohol. Everyone has different desires depending on what it is that they covet and what it is that they want. And Iblis knows every single person to know what their desires are. To have those desires in and of itself is not haram, because Allah has created us with those desires. But we are then commanded to suppress the desires that are not good and not worthy. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to control the things that are haram, and then we can let the other desires flourish if they are halal. That is, or to use them in the bounds that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated, for example, like marriage. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't hold me or you to account for the desire, simply having the desire. And in fact, if you have that desire and it's a challenge for you and it's a test to learn to control it, to learn to not become subservient to it, or rather you are the one who controls your desires as opposed to the desires controlling you, that is from the greatest acts of worship that you can perform and extremely rewarding in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes in the Quran those people who make their desires their gods. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى, do you not see the one who has taken his desires as his Lord and his God? So they follow their desires wherever it leads them, to whatever evil one thing leads to another, and it continues to snowball in that way. But Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, you have desires, you have haram tendencies that you're likely to lean towards, learn to control and suppress them. And when you do, and by the way, that's not just to do with this issue of homosexuality, everything. Anger is an issue for you. That's no problem. Jealousy is an issue for you. Envy is an issue for you. So you must learn to control that desire. You must learn to manage it so that it doesn't come out and show itself and manifest in ways that are not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla or legislated by Him. So this is why he is saying to his people, Lut alayhi salam, that what you're doing is an extreme evil. How do they respond? In verse number 82, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. The only response his people gave was to say, drive them out of your town. These men want to keep themselves chaste. They wanted to exile him. They didn't like him. Their response wasn't to speak to him about this issue or to even engage in a dialogue, but they said, أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ, he and his family and his followers, take them out and drive them out from your land. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ, these people want to be people of chastity, of modesty. And modesty is always good in every society, because modesty leads to people curbing their desires, curbing their tendencies. In many of the societies that we live in now, antisocial behavior is a major thing. And one of the major, major causes of antisocial behavior in all of its different ways and forms is as a result of people not curbing their desires of one kind or another. Drugs, drinking, all of these different types of issues that we have in our communities and societies now, these are some of the main causes of why you have antisocial behavior. And so people will say every so often, the government, the police and others, that we need to clamp down on drugs in communities, we need to clamp down on people's drinking habits, we need to change the education and the messaging around it. That's what happens in a community when people's desires are left uncurbed. And when you live in a society that is extremely liberal and allows for people to do so, it affects people, it affects the family, it affects society, it affects communities, it affects the whole structure of the way that society is and should be. And so those people don't like that, and so they try to drive them out. They try to silence them and remove them. And that is what the people of Lut alayhi salam did towards him, or tried to do towards him. So Allah Azza wa Jalla responds in verse 83, and he says, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا مْرَأَتَهُ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. We saved him and his kinsfolk, his family, apart from his wife, who stayed behind. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we saved him, and we saved the believers with him, including his family, with the exception of his wife, because his wife was upon the way of his people. And this is now another example. We've already had an example of the Quran in Surah Al-An'am, when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how sometimes the prophets of Allah and the messengers of Allah, some of their closest family relations, didn't accept them and believe in them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father rejected him and turned away from him. Here now we have an example of another prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Lut alayhi salatu wa salam, whom Allah praises, and his story is mentioned numerous times in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says with regards to Lut, his own wife didn't accept and believe. His own wife was upon the way of her people. And so when Lut alayhi salam was told to leave with his family and his followers and to run away from or to escape from these people, because the destruction and punishment of Allah was going to come upon them, his wife was made the exception. She would remain behind and stay because she didn't believe in him and she didn't accept him. And so the punishment that struck the people of Lut also came to strike her. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 84, concluding the story of Lut alayhi salam, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And we showered upon them a rain of destruction, so see the fate of the evildoers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us elsewhere in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the ground to be lifted upon them and them to be turned upside down, and stones of baked clay to come and to strike them and to destroy them. And that is how Allah Azza wa Jalla destroys those people who turn away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they reject the prophets and messengers. We now come in verse number 85 to the story of the fifth prophet that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in this story, in this surah. So we've had mention of the stories of Nuh and Hud and Salih and Lut alayhim salatu wa salam. The fifth of them is now Shu'ib alayhi salam and his people known as the people of Madian. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 85, وَإِلَى مَدِيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعِيبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ
فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
To the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. He said, "My people, worship Allah, you have no God other than Him. A clear sign has come to you from your Lord. Give full measure and weight and do not undervalue people's goods. Do not cause corruption in the land after it has been set in order. That is better for you if you are believers." Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about a group of people known as the people of Madian. And the people of Madian in the Quran are also referred to the Aika. And the Aika is a type of tree and a wood that they used to, or a tree that they had in that area of Madian that they used to worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they're referred to as the people of Aika, Ashabul Aika, and they're also known as the people of Madian, Madian being the name of the tribe. To them Allah Azza wa Jalla sent the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, and the people of Madian are also an Arab people. And that is why the Arabs knew of these people. And some of the scholars said that from the names of the prophets that we have in the Quran, four were directly sent to the Arabs. So the prophets Hud and Salih and Shu'aib and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi salatu wasalam were prophets that were directly sent to the Arabs, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. But either way, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that to Madian we sent to them their brother, meaning their brother in tribe, in lineage, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. He came to them and he gave them the same call that all of the prophets before him, Nuh and Hud and Salih and all of the prophets came with. Ya qawmi ibudullah, ma lakum min ilahin ghiru. O my people, worship Allah alone, you have no other God besides Him. The call to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. A clear sign has come to you from your Lord. And then, what was the major issue of these people? So we said, the people of Hud, it was their arrogance. The people of Salih, they were given all that technology and they turned away from worship of Allah Azza wa Jal despite their many blessings. The people of Madian now, what is their major issue? And likewise, the people of Lut with their tendencies and desires that they couldn't control. But now, what is the issue with the people of Shu'aib? They were people who were business people, wealthy and rich, but they got their money and their wealth by cheating people, by being dishonest and deceiving in their business dealings. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Be, give full measure and weight. When you weigh things in volume or in weight, then give correct, accurate measures. Because the people of Shu'aib, when it came to people buying from them, they would fiddle with their measures and weights. So they would give less and they would take full payment. And when it came to them purchasing, then they would give less and they would take full payment. And so they would always fiddle with these things because money is king. It's all about money. This was their desire that they couldn't curb and control. Money, money, money. Just like many people today, money is their fitna. Money, by hook or by crook, one way or another, I will get money. If I have to steal, I have to rob, I have to cheat, I have to whatever I have to do, so long as I become rich, and so long as I get my money, I don't care. And so people go crazy in the way that they deal with people. They will trample over their relatives, over their family members, over their friends, over other Muslims, over people in general. Don't care who they harm or what they harm, so long as I get money and I can buy whatever I want to buy, purchase whatever I want to purchase. And that is from the worst of tendencies that people can have. فَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says to them, be careful in the way that you measure, in the way that you weigh. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. And do not undervalue people's goods. Because when it came to them purchasing from others, they would say, it's not worth that much. We're not going to pay you full money for that. We're going to give you less, but we want the full amount. And so they're both ways profiting and they're harming others. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not cause corruption upon the earth after it has been set in order. Because this is from the greatest types of corruption. When people start to cheat in their business dealings, then dishonesty becomes rampant. People cheating becomes the norm. No one trusts another person or the integrity of their products or their word or their speech. And then the whole society, because all of us need each other in terms of our dealings. We need tradespeople, we need business people, we need people who are selling products. But if all of these people are being dishonest, and then the people taking their services on or buying from them are also dishonest, what does that become in a society? Becomes mayhem and chaotic. And that is why every civilization, every society tries to manage this issue of people's wealth and how they deal with it and the laws that govern it and what you can or can't do and what's legal or not legal and what your rights are and what your rights are not. Because otherwise the whole thing just falls apart. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, when he went to the marketplace and he found someone was selling good food on the top in the basket of food, but when he placed his hand down at the bottom, the food wasn't very good. So he's selling good produce, but when he goes and takes it, when the person says, yeah, that looks good, I want a kilo of that, then they go and they take it from the bottom of the basket or the one that's in the back, and it's not the same quality. The Prophet said, من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever cheats us isn't from us. It's not the traits of the Muslim that they cheat, but rather the traits of the Muslim is that they would make it clear that it's not the same. Or they would give them the best of what they have, or they would be fairer, or they would be extremely, they would have a great deal of integrity in the way that they conduct themselves in their business dealings. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when two people buy, or they have a transaction between them, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا, if the two of them are truthful and honest, they give full clarity, give the full picture in that transaction, بُورِكَ لَهُمَ فِي بِعِهِمَا, Allah will put barakah in that transaction, because he's honest. Yeah, I know I'm giving you this, but look, it's got this fault here, it's got this slight defect here, I may get less for that in terms of price, but I was honest, Allah will bless that. فَإِنْ كَذَبَ وَكَتَمَ, and then he said, but if they're dishonest and they hide stuff, they conceal stuff, مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا, Allah will take away the blessing from any transaction that they do. This person has all that money, but it's all haram. So their food is haram, their clothing is haram, everything they do is haram, and they find only misery as a result of that wealth. As opposed to someone who earns it in a halal way, it may be slightly less, but Allah will put blessing in it for you, and He will make that good for you. That is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that is a type of corruption upon the earth. So be careful of this. In verse 86, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues that Shu'aib said to his people, وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صِرَاطٍ تُوْعِدُونَ وَتَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَتَبَغُونَهَا عِوَجًا واذكروا إذ كنتم قليلا فكثركم وانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين. Do not sit in every pathway threatening and barring those who believe in Allah from His way, trying to make it crooked. Remember how you used to be few and He made you multiply. Think about the fate of those who used to spread corruption. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Shu'aib alayhi salam is saying to the people of Madian, and don't sit in the pathways of the people. Don't sit there threatening them, barring them from the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, diverting them from Allah's guidance and His message. And again, this is one of those tactics that we saw being played out throughout history and also in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't the Quraysh used to go out in public and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam around, saying, don't listen to him, he's crazy, he's a liar, he's mad. Wouldn't they sit outside and openly ridicule him, sit by the Kaaba and say, you can't come and pray, you can't worship? They would publicly show their opposition to Islam and to the truth and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, Shu'aib is saying to the people of Madian, don't do this. You're stopping people from hearing Allah's message. You don't want to believe, don't believe. But don't be an obstacle in the path of others from receiving that message and receiving that guidance, because that is a further harm, a further and higher level of transgression and oppression. وَتَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. These people want to come and believe in Allah or learn about Allah Azza wa Jal, and you are making their path crooked for them, turning them away, diverting them away, using your wealth and your influence to turn them away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. But remember the many blessings that Allah bestowed upon you. وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ قَلِيلًا فَكَثَّرَكُمْ.